coming in.
Keep it locked right here. You are listening to MTMB Sports.
And now, the time fight fans all across the globe have been waiting for. It's the MTMV main card with your man, The Voice. On the opposite side of me, in the opposite corner, it's the butcher, the baker, the word up maker.
Wow.
None other than, well, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, not the word maker upper. It rhymed better that way. And see, when you have the gift of,
so we just started the show with disrespect is what it is. That's fine. I'm not even do you like that.
No. Let me finish. The word up maker, none other than the Iron One himself, Wildress, with his Deion Sanders supporting self, Ruffin.
Oh, I'm here. And word up maker, I'm the king of blow up situation. Right now I'm in pre-blow up situation, but when I blow up, the price is going to go up. You know what I'm saying?
So we're
going
to blow up, price. Go up.
You know what I'm saying? Here, because I'm the blow up situation is going to happen. I'm having a skincare line. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a line of plush teddy bears for the Jones. Like I'm here. You know what I mean? That's what I do. But I'm not going to slander you and the light above your head, which is not a halo. But I'm going to give you your intro, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend, the flubberer himself. The Voice.
Yeah, because I couldn't.
Voice, how you doing, sir? We was late today because somebody
because I got personal issues.
No, I'm talking about your setup. I'm not talking about your personal issues. My
personal issues is part of why the setup was late and things of that nature. It's just been it's been a lot, a whole lot. No excuses. It just is what it is.
See, now I gotta show you grace for that. You supposed to let me slander you based off you setting up and blaming me for your setup, but you didn't do that. But that's okay though, because we got some good things to get into. Even though we ain't gonna get into it, we're gonna get into some good contact sports here. So let's go ahead and get into KOs and low blows today. Okay. First off, Voice, I didn't hear the intro to the music.
You know what I mean? For some reason, the music is kind of lagging, so I shut it.
It's all good. Just beatbox for me. So with the
that's gonna mess up the audio.
With the betting scandal coming to light, Voice, I want to ask you. There's been a lot of talk with a lot of fighters saying that he should be banned. I want to get your thoughts on James Krause possibly even being banned from coaching for good. I mean, he's even been banned from his own event. There was an event coming up called the James Krause FAC 17, and they literally cut ties with him and his name in the event. With all the betting scandals coming out now, Voice, what is your take on this?
It is very interesting, and I'm really waiting to see what the final results of the investigation are. The fact that, here's the thing. James Krause has often been referred to as the cheat code. That doesn't sound too good right now, though, when you got issues with betting. And it's like, you know, the lines are swinging crazy on your fights, because that's what started it all. You know, to be known as a cheat code, that might not... That might not be too complimentary, because he is such a phenomenal coach. I mean, literally, like, he was a Chico. Like, having him in your corner meant that you more than likely were going to win because of his skill. I would hate to see such wonderful talent and ability sidelined forever because of this. Now, if he's guilty, then yes. My fear, though, is that he may not be guilty, but because of the UFC's need to make an example, that they may just ban him altogether anyway. This is going to impact some fights. Some fights, you know, have already kind of been impacted, but specifically, Brandon Moreno moved his camp, went to train with Kraus in his last fight. Won against Kai Car France, got the interim title, and he's supposed to be fighting for the full title against Davidson Figueiredo for the fourth time. Will he be able to do that? Last time I saw a picture of him, I saw Jean Wei Li, and Jean trains with Henry Cejudo, which is who Brandon Moreno used to train with. So it there's so many things that are up in the air. For his sake and really for the sake of the MMA community, I hope that he is, that he's innocent of the charges. Mm-hmm. The fact that, well, I mean, they had to do something. The line swung too much. He's already been, and I think that's really what started it. He has already had his license suspended by Nevada. So then, you know, and then New Jersey kicked in two really big gambling states. You know, people forget about Atlantic City and New Jersey. But, you know, two super huge gambling states stopped it immediately. And like I said, two provinces, I know Ontario was one. I believe Alberta was the other. It's just not looking good. Again, hopefully things will work out well for him, but it's not looking good.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. You got people like Sean Strickland and Matt Brown who are literally calling for his gym to be shut down and him to be completely removed. Then on the other side, when you look at the media's thoughts on it, you're getting a lot of people who are saying like, yo, like the UFC's treatment of his fighters is the reason. So it's kind of interesting to see how everyone feels about it, especially when you consider, you know, what Jake Paul has been putting out there in the past few months about, you know, how the fighters are being treated also. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot to what you just said, specifically seeing as Kraus has openly said, I make more money gambling on my fights than I do actually fighting fights. So yeah, that has a lot to do, or I should say that's a big piece of it. And when the ban came down, that's something we discussed. How many people you know, bet on their own fights and then bet on other fights as a means of supplementing their income. And yeah, if I mean we don't hear about this being an issue with baseball players, with football players, with basketball players, with hockey players, even with people in the MLS. We don't hear about this. You only hear about the betting or the fighting with MMA. You don't even hear that hear it as being an issue in boxing. You hear about them betting, but you don't hear about them betting on themselves, at least right. Not like that.
Definitely. I think no matter what happens, it's going to have to be definitely a major change coming, whether he ends up being banned or not. So I mean, it opens up the door for change, so that's good. Moving on to something else. Your favorite fighter, Tyson Fury.
I want to get everybody is every, my favorite fighter.
Tyson Fury, Jake Paul, and I'm gonna say Danny Sabatello, because you and him like to talk junk the same. I wanted to get your thoughts on the aftermath.
Is much better, but anyway.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the aftermath of the Fury Chisora fight. It seemed like it was a lot of fireworks. It was a lot of WWE vibes going on too afterwards. You know, Fury was out here talking his talk. I wanted to get your thoughts on the aftermath of that fight. Where do the fighters go there, and what's next for Tyson Fury?
Where do the fighters go from here? Hopefully, Chisora goes off into retirement. Hopefully this is like his last cash out, and then he can ride off into the sunset. He barely beat Kubrat Pulev in the fight before. Lost three fights before the fight with Kubrat Pulev, only to have this fight stopped. It was not competitive in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Yeah, I mean, there wouldn't, you said fireworks from Fury, maybe, not from Chisora. I mean, it was such a pedestrian fight. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it live. I found out what happened online accidentally when I was looking to watch it later. And as it was going on, me and my boy were talking the whole time. Salute to Harry J. We were holding full-fledged conversations about Jerry Jones and his tomfoolery. We really weren't paying attention to that fight. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like you said, the aftermath is the most important piece. because now there are two people that are being talked about, which I don't like that there are two people. Mm-hmm. If he wanted to fight, being Fury, instead of fighting Chisora, he should have fought the person on the undercard, I should say, the co-main, which I meant to say last week. He should have been fighting Danny Dubois in the first place. Why are we talking about fighting Danny Dubois now? You could have fought him instead of Chisora. Yeah, you could have done that. You should have done that. But no, now Danny Dubois is in the mix. and because of, and I'm sorry, I have really no other way to explain him, but I'll just say the madman. That's probably the nicest thing I can say. Because of the madman, Usyk, I can see him fighting, trying to fight Danny Dubois. It'd be an easier fight. Usyk can take a punch. We saw that when he fought Derek Chisora the first time. That's all I wanted to see. Was like, how is he going to take a punch? Takes a punch fairly well. He is extremely light on his feet because he's the lighter fighter, and he can fight. Will Fury have the stamina needed to keep up with him all 12 rounds? You know, now, can Fury box? Absolutely. But you got a master boxer, a literal pound-for-pound great across from you in Usyk. And like I said, he's a madman. Have you looked in that man's eyes? You can look at him and tell something ain't quite right with you. And Fury was standing on the apron saying, yeah, you know, come on, stop being scared. The man just got done fighting for real in a war, shooting bullets and having bullets shot at him. You think he's scared to fight? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting because it seems Fury is calling out any and everybody. I mean, he even called out Anthony Joshua again, which at this point, I personally just don't see that about happening if Joshua walked away for the first time. But I don't, okay. So before we go to break, is there a point to the Anthony Joshua fight? Most people have already written him off. Many people just really want to see Fury and Wilder again.
Why?
That's what I listen. When you doing research up for the show, most people are saying they would rather see Fury and Wilder instead of seeing Joshua and Fury, because most people feel like Joshua might be scared or he may be overwhelmed by the fight immediately.
I think you may be looking at things from an American lens. In that perspective, yes, people will want to see that fight. In the UK, in the UK, oh, they want to see and have been wanting to see Fury and Joshua for quite some time. And that's still going to sell way more than Fury and Wilder would.
Well, we shall see. I mean,
Joshua just needs to get a win. That's what I'm saying. He needs a tune up for his personal well-being. He needs a tune-up fight, maybe two, then make that fight.
Not sure if Fury has that much time left in him, but we'll definitely see. When we come back, we got a great show. We'll be discussing Bellator, Lopez Martin, UFC 282, and Terrence Crawford is back in the ring again. We'll be back with a message from our sponsor, Ozell.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand. It's a lifestyle.
All right, and welcome back. I'm so excited because we got a great slate of bouts to talk to you about. Now, the first one I want to talk about, Voice, seems like a weird set of events. Now, in the oddest set of events, UFC 282 literally has become probably more and more unpredictable. Now, the main event is a major example. Now, Jan is actually is actually a rising star. He's going to be taking on Ankalaev for the light heavyweight championship. Now, that's going to be taking place live at the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada. Now, this is all happening after a weird set of people being pulled out. Now, after the champ Yuri had to vacate the title after confirming he did need surgery, Saturday's main event was supposed to be scheduled to see the former champ, Glover Teixeira, take on Ankalaev for the vacated title. When that fell apart, and it depends on who you ask, Jan, who lost the title to Teixeira last October, was named as a replacement. Now, Ankalaev, who has not taken a loss since 2018 to Paul Craig, he's opened up as the clear betting favorite and appears to be poised to take over the division at large. Now, the question I ask you, Royce, with all these changes and everything happening, number one, is this the fight that we should be seeing? And number two, what do you think about the two fighters who are going to be taking, who are going to be going against each other for the vacated title?
Is this the fight we should be seeing? This is the fight that the UFC deemed as being worthy of showing. And the reason that, and honestly, they needed this fight. Glover said, hey, I'll take the fight. I just need a little more time because this guy's style is a lot different. It's like, now, if you want to give me Yuri, I mean, not Yuri, you want to give me Jan, who I already throttled, I can step in and do that one. But they're like, nah, we don't want that. We want it versus Ankalaev. He's like, I can do it. Give me a month. Let it be in Brazil. That'll pull because I'm Brazilian. But they were like, nah, we need a title fight for this card. And they really did because there are no other title fights on this card. And if they could not make this for a title, then they might as well put it on ESPN. But because of their contract with ESPN, they have to have so many pay-per-views, so they had to do what they had to do in order to make it happen. Is this a card that is like going to do gangbusters? Probably not. It'll do decently in the UK because of Paddy Pimblett. He's been saying a whole bunch of stuff as of late, but we won't delve into that. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just they really needed it. I'm glad they have it. Is it something that I'm going out of my way to see, especially with the wonderful lineup that we have to talk about today? No, I'm not. I'm not going out of my way to see it. If I'm able to find a way to see it, great. If not, then I'll catch the replays in 3 months on ESPN Plus. Now, as far as how the fight should go, like you said, Ankalaev hasn't lost since his debut in the UFC. And he lost that at the very last second, literally. At 4:59 in the third round, Paul Craig pulled off the miracle triangle and won the fight. I mean, it was crazy because he was getting, I remember that fight. And it was like the second time he did it. He was getting whooped from pillar to post to win at the very, very last moment of the fight. Outside of that, he's before and since then, he's been flawless. And not only that, I mean, he has a well-rounded game, you know, very strong grappler. He can knock you out too. You know, Jan is a grizzly vet. You say he's a rising star. Jan has been in the UFC probably about 10 years.
No, I say he was taken on the rising star.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it was a rising star. Look, if we had music and stuff going, and if the sound effects were working like they were supposed to work, I ain't pulled it out in a minute, but I was sure getting ready to pull out the record scratch and say, what? Yeah. Now, granted, Mr. Polish Power himself has definitely made himself a cult star over the past couple years. But yeah, I mean, he's been around for quite some time, which is probably the reason why the UFC didn't want to do that one again. It's like, Glover, you're a fighter two away from being done. Jan probably is too. Why would we put y'all back together to have these old folks up here who will probably either going to be retiring or get beat soon Magomed, as you said, he is being dubbed as the future, which is why he's getting the push, which is why they put him in for the title. This would have been the Voices marquee matchup because the likelihood of him having the title shot if this fight stayed as it is, as it was on the card, I think it was like the co-main event. Mm-hmm. If it had stayed there, it would have been a Voices marquee matchup. But since it's been elevated, obviously it's not. With all the other fights, it's really not much to talk about. Like I said, Magomed is a beast. Jan has had a wonderful resurgence and really has remade himself, but he's long in the tooth.
Yeah.
And you can get old real quick in the fight game. We thought that that happened with Chocolatito in his fight last week. It was like, oh, it looks like he's aged already. And he wound up tapping into the fountain of youth and giving us a spirited vintage Chocolatito fight. Will Jan do the same? We'll find out when the pin drops, cage door locks, thumbs go up, and they start the clock.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see. Like you said, you know, Ankalaev hasn't lost since, you know, he's lost to Paul Craig. And since then, five of his last nine fights have actually ended in KO or TKO. So that's definitely going to be a great bout to see. Now, moving on to, I don't know if you got a chance to see their face-off, the WBA International Super Lightweight Championship is on the line. His former unified lightweight champ, Teofimo Lopez, is going to be fighting Saturday, December 10th against Sandor Martin. Now, it's a little strange how this is all playing out. Now, while he did defeat Campo, Lopez still needs an impressive win, as many people were not impressed and felt a little disappointed that he did not take his rematch after his bout against George Kambosos Jr. Mm-hmm. So in their face-off, Lopez did his best to try to make Martin flinch. Instead of making Martin flinch, he got weirded out when Martin asked him, did he want a kiss, in the weirdest face that Lopez had. When that happened, it seemed like everything just kind of turned against him. Now, Lopez coming into this fight feels like he has something to prove. He said, I came here to make a statement. I did it with Lomachenko. It's all about doing it at 140 and then moving up to 147 and knocking them down. Martin hasn't said much. He's kind of just been waiting and seeing how everything's going to play out. This is like the first major thing he did or said was at their media face-off. So I want to get your thoughts on this. Is Lopez literally just trying to psych himself up? I mean, is he really telling the truth that he's good at 140? And, I mean, what do we make of this?
Okay, you gave me a bunch of questions, so I don't know if I'm going to answer them all. I'll do my best as far as what to make of it. I did not hear the audio, which is why I laughed when you said what took place. All I saw was, Teo standing there, and then, just looking crazy. I mean, he was looking crazy the whole time, but, you know, he said, and Martin flinched. So it may just be that he's really quick on his feet, you know, just quick with it. It's like, okay, well, yeah, you say that. Okay, now I'm going to say something to try to disarm you. At the face-offs for the press conference, they were standing there looking at each other again, because that was probably like on top of the I was going to say Eiffel Tower, and that's not it, Empire State Building. It's usually when fights are in New York, and this is at Madison Square Garden, a lot of times fighters will go up there for a face-off. I know it was outside, but the one today, which we're recording this on a Thursday, Teo was standing there and Martin was. Now, all of a sudden, Teo kind of tilts his head and steps in a bit closer, and the person standing between them starts pushing them apart and then stands in between them. So to me, it seems as if these are mind games being played by Teo to get in San Martin's head, which whatever advantage you can get it. On paper, would it look like Teo needs to get a mind game advantage over him? No. So that makes me wonder really what kind of mind state Teo is in, because I really can't think of another time when he's done things like this. You know, he's fought some great fighters, you know, fought in and won the title at 135. I'm drawing a blank as to who he beat then, but I believe the gentleman was from Ghana that he beat. And, you know, then fighting Lomachenko, he wasn't doing all these things. And we know that in the Kambosos fight, he had a lot of physical issues as well as personal issues that kept him from being his best. So this actually adds a very interesting wrinkle to things. And I'll be interested to see how it turns out. But yeah, that was like a world-class comeback there.
Yes, it's going to be interesting, because if that was any sign of it, Sandra Martin is not giving in to any of the talk that Lopez has done leading up to the fight. So, I mean, it, you know, like you said, you know, leading up to, you know, after the Kambosos fight, he was going through physical pain. Maybe that's something of him trying to work himself up to get himself hype again. We never know, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see, especially, you know, whether Lopez wins or loses, where he's going to go next. Cause I think most people still want to see him, fight Kambosos again. I think most people still want to see him, I guess, kind of avenge and have his rematch. Because when I was researching for this, most people that I kind of talk to, because I like to talk to people who are into these bouts, and they're all saying the same thing, that they want to see him go back up and face Kambosos again and then go and win another championship or do whatever he wants to do. You don't look convinced.
Yeah. Well, there are a couple things at play that would that will probably keep that from happening. Mm-hmm. One is Kambosos fights at 135. Teo's been fighting at 140. So that's like the biggest problem. If that fight were to be made, that fight should have been made like now. That wouldn't be a fight to make after winning a couple fights. Now I'm going to go back and fight this guy who Devin walked twice, who we all know I wasn't right when I fought, and because I should have beat him then, and I more than likely will be the favorite to beat him again if we were to fight. So, I mean, if he loses this fight, yeah, go fight Kambosos. That'd be a perfect fight to fight, because it'd be like one of the biggest names that he can fight at this time. But yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense if you're trying to progress to go back and fight somebody to try to get your get back, especially when he got walked twice in a row.
Said he got walked.
And is at a lower weight class than what you're competing at.
I get that. That definitely makes sense. Well, it's I can guarantee you, it's nothing compared to Bellator 289. Literally, for me, the running theme of Bellator 289 seems to be bad blood. Mm-hmm. And no bout is more clear than this than the co-headliner for the women's flyweight title bout between Liz Caramush and Juliana Velasquez. Now, while she came out victorious and as the new champ in their last bout in April, Liz won through stoppage. And after the bout, you saw Juliana fight to have the results overturned. Mm-hmm. Now, despite the denial and an immediate rematch that was set, Liz said that she's looking to dominate and leave no doubt this time. It's definitely a lot of motivation, she said, making sure that there's no doubt in her mind or anyone else's that I put her away in such a fashion that she doesn't need to open her mouth again. Now, both of these fighters are coming in with major accomplishments in Bellator. Caramush has a 4-fight Bellator winning streak at the women's flyweight. That's the longest active streak in the division. And Velasquez has 7 victories in Bellator women's flyweight competition. Those are actually the second most in divisional history, I believe, behind McFarlane. Mm-hmm. So, Voice, after the last bout where, you know, Liz won by stoppage, and with everything that's happened, what are we looking to see in this upcoming rematch?
What we're looking to see is, was the Juliana Velasquez that we saw last time the real Juliana Velasquez, or is the one that we saw every other time before that, including when she beat Liz's teammate, Elimelech McFarland. Is that the Juliana Velasquez that that truly is? You know, maybe it's the pressure of being a champion as to why she wasn't able to perform. Now, she said she went back and she watched her fight. She saw her errors and she's going to make up for that. She definitely protested the fight. Now, when you're in a crucifix and people are hitting you, and I understand, it's like, hey, you know, they, she wouldn't hit me that hard. But generally, if you're in a crucifix, because you are in a crucifix, your arms are stretched out and you cannot defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're just getting hit all the time and there's nothing that you can do to stop somebody from hitting you. Generally, the fight is going to be stopped. So even protesting, I was like, you know, that was kind of questionable. But she said, look, I know what I do. And yes, things are going to be different. I've been doing a lot of striking and people know me for striking, but my primary discipline is grappling, you know, and not just grappling, in the gi getting down. So she said, yeah, you're going to see some different things, which will be interesting because Liz is a great wrestler. She's a great wrestler. And for you to get crucifixed means you got some ground skills. That's not something that just anybody can pull off. And not just pull it off, hold it, and be able to win a fight with it. That takes some skill. So it'll be interesting to see, again, if the real Juliana Velasquez shows up or if we've now seen the real Juliana Velasquez. Because Liz, you know, she's like, hey, this is just another fight. Having a belt makes it so that people are after me a bit more, but it's really changed nothing.
Now, you know, before we move into the next fight, I do want to ask, because Liz seems to be completely worked up, and it's understandable to have someone literally try to dispute your win can frustrate you. Is it possible that she can work herself up so much that she kind of overdoes it and then Juliana takes advantage of it? Or do you just think that Liz is just supremely focused?
Well, Liz is not the one that's worked up. Juliana is.
Yeah, but when media spoke to Juliana, spoke to Liz, Liz was like, yo, like I'm frustrated, I'm mad, I'm disappointed, like in the manner that Juliana handled the fight afterwards. And that seems to be what Liz is focused on.
Yeah, now that may have been I'm not sure when that happened. But the press conference, which was Wednesday, Liz was regular old Liz, cool as the other side of the pillow. Salute to Stu Scott. So, yeah, I don't see her being fired up. When I saw the press conference, the person who was fired up was Juliana Velasquez. She's looking to get her get back.
There we go. We'll definitely see. It's going to be a great card, because there's another bout on this card where I feel like the trash talk is... I don't know if the bout is going to be able to stand up to the trash talk, because the way that Super Stotts and Danny Sabatello are going at each other has been crazy. Now, the Bellator Bantamweight World Grand Prix continues Friday. That's going to be the main event of the card, where Stotts is going to be defending his interim belt against Danny Sabatello. Now, the keeping true to his form, Danny is literally taking as many shots in the media as we expected him to take and more. But on the other side of this, Stotts is literally coming into the bout with wins in his last 10 fights and stated, I don't like him and he doesn't like me. It's perfect that we're fighting. I think he sucks as a fighter, and I think he probably would say the same thing about me. I don't like the way that he goes about talking about people and how he carries himself. He's a performer before he's a fighter, and I just don't like any of those things. I think he's a coward. Now, we all know how Danny Sabatello works. We all know that, you know, many times he's just working himself up, and he always shows respect after the fight. Boys, I gotta ask, did Danny bite off more than he can chew this time? Because Super looks like he's ready and he's prepared for this.
I don't think that he bit off more than he can chew. I mean, he didn't. He's in a tournament and he won so far. And this is who you get, you know, across from him. It's not like, you know, he was calling, you know, people out and setting things up. this is how tournaments work. And it's very interesting. I know Sabatello is saying like, this is the bantamweight title fight. There's no interim. This is the bantamweight title fight. This is a fight to see who's the best bantamweight in the world, because he feels like the best bantamweights are in Bellator. As someone who's covered Sabatello for a while, who's liked his mic work in the past, I'm not sure what's going on currently. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just me because of who I am and my stance and things of that nature. Now, normally, blue language doesn't bother me, but he just seemed to take things to a different level recently. And it's like, I don't know, it wore on me a bit. It's like, you know, every other word is that, you know, he's this, he's that, and just going way. I was like, So Stott said that he's a one-trick pony. He's like, I have nothing to worry about. All you're going to do is try to wrestle and pressure me. That's all I have to worry about. I have many more skills. Sabatello's like, yeah, you do a lot of things, but you don't do anything well. So he's saying that he's not scared. Number one, this is probably the biggest fight in Bellator this year. Mm-hmm. Depending on how it goes down, it could be up there with Kimbo and Ken Shamrock as one of, you know, the most notable fights in Bellator history. You know, and some of those legendary fights between Alvarez and Chandler, you know, some of those fights. It could go down that way. I'm interested in seeing who is going to be able to do things. Now, one thing that was brought up in the press conference that really hits home for me is that whenever he's in the ring, you see Stotts with his green and white headband on that says super on it. Super on the white in the middle, green on the sides. You all know that your man, the voice, is Nigerian. And Super puts on for Nigeria. But someone asked, it's like, is there extra pressure seeing as the Nigerian champions this year have not fared well? Mm. Usman knocked out at the last minute. Izzy knocked out at the last minute. Now, Sabatello's not really a knockout kind of fighter. He said he wants to bloody him up, cut him up, and have the fight stopped in the fourth round. That's what he's predicting. Can he do that? Yeah, because if you can get someone down to the ground, you can inflict ground and pound specifically using your elbows. Yes, you can cut someone up bad enough where the fight can be stopped. Whether or not he'll be able to do that, that's really the question, because just like Juliana Velasquez said, hey, look, grappling is my first discipline. Wrestling is Rafian's first discipline. So will you know, is Sabatello a strong enough wrestler to be able to overcome the wrestling chops that that Stotts has?
It's definitely gonna be interesting, especially when you consider Sabatello's comments. He said, I think the lights are gonna be a little bit too bright for him. He said, I think he's going to be a little bit too heavy on his legs, and he's going to feel exhausted after one round just because all the pressure is mounting. And whenever that happens, you just want to knock a guy's head off. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens in the first round. If that happens in the first round, and that means that Sabatello scouted really well, or it could just be he's gassing himself up. But That Bellator card is going to be amazing. There's a lot of bad blood on that fight, so it's going to be exciting. Now, the last fight of the weekend that we want to get you prepared for is one that we've covered this on the main event previously, and Voice, you were a little rough. You were a little rough on it. Now, the WBO welterweight championship is on the line this weekend, and Terrence Crawford is going to be aiming for a successful defense against Ava. Now, the bout is going to be taking place at the Shy Health Center in Omaha, Nebraska. It's going to be taking place on the BLK Network. Now, the lead up to this
BLK bout. BLK Prime.
Oh, it's BLK Prime.
Yeah, okay. If we're not gonna say Evan Easton, let's at least say BLK Prime.
I mean, I was going by his nickname. I didn't want to.
Smart boy. Look at you. I need some applause. In this, that was smart. I know that was his nickname. All right, go ahead. Yeah. Bad self.
Now the lead up to the bout has kind of been a disaster, with many questioning and concerning everything from his opponent to if the bout is going to do at least 10,000 buys. So it has not helped that Crawford has spent the majority of his media time answering more questions about Errol Spence instead of promoting the bout. Now, Ava is the 6th ranked boxer in WBO, and he believed that there's a possibility for an upset. Now, what he recently said was, there's a big opportunity for me, a big chance. I deserve this fight, and I want this fight, and it's going to be a good fight. This is not an easy fight for Terrence, and his fans are going to be very understanding of what it's going to take in this boxing ring. So I want to get your thoughts on not only Ava's comments, but what are your thoughts on the whole thing with Crawford speaking more about Errol Spence than promoting his own bout in trying to make sure that it does the buys that it's supposed to do? Because he's getting a lot of heat for this.
So much of the discussion regarding Bud and Errol has not been Bud. It's been everybody else asking him about this. So you can put that on us, the media, asking about it. But part of the reason why that is so much of the conversation is because nobody, and I mean nobody, knew who David, the wannabe giant killer, was before this fight. So I want some. I earned it. I should have it. Man, it's 5 other people ahead of you. How you gonna say that you earned it and you're supposed to have it? This is this is a stay busy fight. And really, for Bud, it's not on him to promote the fight. He's the fighter. It's the promoter's fight. I mean, the promoter's job to promote the fight. But they've put, and really, I'll say that the UFC has a lot of blame when it comes to this, because the UFC has been able to leverage their fighters in such a way that they've been able to promote fights much easier because of the personalities that they have and pushing those things. Well, Bud has no personality. I'm sorry. He doesn't. People know that. He's not, a big talker. He's been talking a lot lately because he's had to. And he's been promoting the fight. It's just that everybody wants to know about, they don't want to know about Dave, the wannabe giant killer. No, they don't want to know about him. They want to know about the fight that we've all wanted to see, which is him versus Errol. Now, just talking about the fight itself, though, we'll give it its due. Bud is undefeated. 38 victories, like 29 KOs, 76% knockout rate. David, 29 victories, 17 KOs, 3 times he's lost, has had a draw in his 3 losses. Now, the first loss, I give it to you. It was his second professional fight. Those kind of things happen. But he really doesn't have anybody on his resume outside of Lamont Crawford, who he lost to, and Mean Machine, who knocked him out. And Mean Machine got knocked out a couple years ago, I want to say, by Bud. Now, granted, boxing and MMA math don't necessarily add up. Just because one fighter beat another fighter, beat the common opponent, doesn't mean that they'll beat them. But if I went to look at the betting lines, I'm sure that they're going to lean very heavily on the side of Bud Crawford, because this is this is really just a warm up to what everyone wants to see. Now, for him to warm up and get paid all the money in the world to do it, get paid more in this fight than any other fight, hey, do that. And talking about promoting the fight, that's the reason that Bob Arum let him walk. It's like, I've lost money on every single one of these fights. It's not Bud's job, per se to promote the fight. He's been doing the things he needs to promote it. It's just that nobody wants to talk about the fight.
Well, I think everybody's just waiting to see the big Crawford Spence fight that they're waiting to see. So final question.
But he's gotta take care of the giant killer to do that though.
Why do you keep calling this man a giant killer?
Because that's what he aspires to be in fighting this fight. He aspires to kill the giant. The last two times that he's fought somebody with a name, he's fallen. But this time, he wants to be the one standing with Bud's hand in his head. I mean, Bud doesn't have hair, so he can't like hold it like David held Goliath's head. But you know, he's trying to take his head off.
It's gonna be an interesting fight to see, and hopefully, you know, they do make the bars that they need to make. So, last question before we end the show: do you think Spence Crawford happens in 2023?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, there you have it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been another amazing show. Voices, the fame, all kinds of characters, call me all kinds of names. But we've gotten you ready for another amazing weekend of combat sports. Yes, voice, I said it. I
only called you the names that I always call you.
I'm appealing to the people so that my aunt will be on my side instead of being on your side this time.
Well, your aunt loves the truth, so love you too, auntie.
Kick rocks, voice. Before we go out, boys, give us your last thoughts. Anything else that you want to say as you get us prepared for this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other great fights. I didn't even get to discuss a couple title fights over in the UK on DAZN on Saturday. Joaquin Buckley is on this card. And if he does like Michael Johnson last week and Charles Energy Johnson, I want to say like 2 weeks or so before, and wins, it'll be a clean sweep for the Lou. But most importantly, we want to give our condolences to the family, the friends, the loved ones, all those impacted by the loss of Mills Lane. Mills Lane, at least for current generations of fight fans, and really maybe even for all of boxing history, he's like the first celebrity referee, you know, the first referee who you really knew his name because of his personality, you know, and coined a catchphrase. Now, everybody in the UFC's got a catchphrase, including someone trying to use his patented let's get it on. But Mills, you love to see him work, even though this man did so many other things in his life, was a Marine. I want to say that he got a law degree as well, but he did a lot of things. But
he was a judge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He had a law degree. He was a judge. Yeah. But he's known most for his time in the square circle. First ballot Hall of Famer. and probably most infamously known as the referee of the Tyson Holyfield fight when Tyson bit the man's ears off. So loved Mills Lane. I loved seeing him in the ring, and sad to hear of his passing again. Our condolences and our prayers are with those who are mourning his loss.
Definitely a legend in and out of the ring. I definitely remember watching him in many of the big fights coming up, and then the Judge Mills Lane show, and then also he was the main.
That's right, he did have his show. That's right.
Yeah, he was the main character on Celebrity Deathmatch, which Twitter's been showing those episodes again. So definitely want to send our condolences to the family. Definitely a legend. It's crazy. We always have to make sure that we give our legends their flowers while they're here, because you know, as lovely as it is that we celebrate them once they're gone, allowing them to be able to be celebrated in times when it's past their time in the ring or whatever sport they're playing in, it's always important for them to feel that love that they gave us. So voice, thank you for that. It's been another great show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not liking, sharing, and subscribing, what are you doing? MTMV Sports.
Right.
Come on, yo. We're you. We are individuals who are fans of everything that we're speaking about, whether we're butchering the names, whether we're slandering people on other shows, whether we're showing love to people on other shows. It's an incredible network of individuals. You can get not only our podcast shows, but now you can also get our articles, check out the website, get some merch, show some love, like, share, subscribe. Voice, take us out.
Hey, speaking of articles, be on the lookout. Because I will have an article after the Bellator show because of being in the press conference and giving you that inside scoop. Until next time, fight fans, fight the good fight.
Sports fans rejoice. You're listening to My Team, My Voice with MTMV Sports.